Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is the OAccess Jamaica podcast, Reasonings with Odessa, episode 16. Sweet 16. Like John Cena. Hey.
I used to be cool when I used to come too. Now you wanna act up like
John Cena. G. Hey. Yes, man. That was Show My Josie, guys. She is my one to watch for this episode. And I love this song. I've been kind of pumping this song a little bit from like last November. But I started playing it again. And I just think she's bad. So, Show My Josie, she hails from South Africa, guys, and she's a rapper, an actress, she's everything. I think she's so super dope. I want you guys to go out and check out her music and, you know, let's support more of our African artists. Let's just support Africa, everything about Africa. Speaking of Africa, right now it's the Independence Day for Ghana. So I want to say big up to all my Ghanaian massives that are listening. Happy Independence to you guys. And speaking of Ghanaians, my show today, I'm so happy to have the big bad Bim Boss, Stoneboy. He is going to be my guest today. So let's just actually go in. I'm not going to like wait or anything. We're just going to go in and speak to Stoneboy right now on this episode of Reasonings with Odessa.
Good life is all about good life. Spanka, one God. Can't take defeat. Look to the left, look to the right. I'm thankful for my life. The struggles I've been through, but I keep winning every single fight.
All right, so we're there, Jamaica. We're there, Ghana. And it's Reasons with Odessa. This interview was supposed to kind of happen in Ghana, but the man is here right now. Welcome to Reasoning, Stoneboy.
Yeah, man. Odessa, nice to connect back, you know. So it's like if the mountain wouldn't go to Moses, Moses would go to the mountain kind of vibe.
Scene.
Yeah, man. So we're here finally as it's supposed to be.
Last year was the year of the return. What was the experience like for you seeing so much people of the diaspora return home?
I mean, it's good. It was coming to that one point or sometime. I believe that people have always returned home. People have established businesses from in the diaspora, you know, over the years. You know, it depends on when you got woke, set up or sort of when you got woke to feel like, yeah, I have to go back home to do this and that. You know, but 2019 marked the 400 years, whatever. So they placed that significance on that slave trade. How long it run after it is 400 years after, right? After slavery. So literally it made a lot of sense because it marked the first slave ship leaving Accra or leaving the Cape Coast Castle into the Americas. So it gave everybody like more reason. You know how people have to have a reason to do stuff. So I think, you know, that was a good plan or good initiative because the whole of Africa actually had to commended Ghana for that effort. So because people came through, or a lot of people came to Africa, not only Ghana, because of that initiative. Right. So they sort of like year of return. So whoever had any connect in Nigeria went to Nigeria. possibly came by Ghana because, yeah, because if you're in Nigeria, go to Ghana, Kenya. People went all the way South Africa, Egypt, and still had to pass through.
I met a lot because of people from
that was like a vibe. So yeah. It's a beautiful one. And I think afterwards, Ghana is still preaching the Beyond the Return right. as well. So guess what? It's begun in a way that I think I'm having to do like a concert in May in Memphis. Is the what do you call it? Build Festival or something.
Mm-hmm.
We're on that as well as part of the initiative for that festival, recognizing the efforts of Ghana and the tourist board and everybody to have come up with the Year of Return initiative. Now they're actually recognizing backwards. Like, I mean, you guys invited everybody to Africa, especially Ghana to be precise, but we are also inviting you now to the city of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to be like that from... And also, I mean, I like that initiative because the cities are hosting it one after the other.
Right.
I just finished a show in Miramar, Florida,
right.
where the vice mayor and the mayor put together an Afro-Carib festival.
How was that?
So it was great. It was crazy. Me, Kippletown, Amara La Negra headlined it. There were a lot of other great artists too who passed through. So I think that the initiative has taken off. Like, it has always been. It's only after the 400th year that significance has been placed on paying attention to, you know, either going back home or the people in the diaspora opening up to also treating, you know, stuff or you know, material commodity. I want mm-hmm. to take it beyond entertainment sphere.
Yeah, no, I'm talking beyond entertainment.
Out. Exactly. So,
so how do you feel that Ghana's developed in the past 10 years? Because I went there for the first time and I was told to a lot of people, that wasn't there, this wasn't there. And I keep seeing all these new buildings popping up or being developed. You know, how has it been developed in the past 10 years from when you were younger to now? And I'm not just talking Accra, Osu,
else. From my own perspective, Africa is still somewhat considered as a developing continent,
right.
where you have South Africa classified as a developed, you know, so... Definitely, even those that are classified as developed countries are doing things, changing infrastructure, refixing things. Every time I go to the UK and I see breaking down of buildings and infrastructure, hospitals, all these things. I go to America, I come to Jamaica, I see the same thing. So definitely development is key, infrastructure is key for every growing or if even not classified as developing or developed, change is the only... the only thing that is what do they say? Change is the only inevitable thing anyway. So if how much more change for a better is mm-hmm. this great. So you know, I'm just trying to tell you.
Do you think that Ghana's gonna be mm-hmm. like a lot of people say now, like a lot of people from the diaspora are saying, if you don't invest in Ghana in the next 5 years, you're gonna get lost because that's like the hot place to be right now.
Yeah, man, I respect that anyway, but I think if you don't invest in Africa, literally, you know,
mm-hmm.
so because Ghana is stand as the gateway to Africa, yes, because of its history and its things, that it values and stuff that, you know, I'm blessed to come from Ghana as well as Africa as a whole. So whoever is saying that within the next 5-10 years, if you don't invest in Ghana, particularly as a country, you're losing, I think they're only expressing it in a form of representing Ghana as the whole of African continent. So, yeah, definitely, you know, it's a good look. And most of us Ghanaians also, or Africans, have investments all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just how viable you see where and what. But home is always home. Africa is like enormous opportunities, enormous things to tap in already. You know,
when you leave home and you come back, what's the first thing that you want to eat when you reach home?
I eat really simple, you know. I eat what I know, basically.
Which
so I
what?
Don't really crave for too much. But I love my plain rice.
Yeah.
And stew.
Yeah.
Canned beef stew and plantain and salad.
When you come to Jamaica, what's the first thing you want as soon as you land?
When I come to Jamaica, I think I know that there's enough familiarity with the food, so I'm good. Because most of the things, the rice and peas, the rice, it's just the same African food, you know. So I'm good. When I'm coming to Jamaica, I know that it's going to be the same kind of thing. But it's elsewhere that I'm worried. So I'm either looking for a Jamaican restaurant, I'm looking for an African restaurant, or I'm looking for a Nepal restaurant.
Right.
Or a Spanish. So, you know, anything that, you know,
season.
Spices them.
Anything
you know what I mean?
That well seasoned.
Them things.
All right, so tell us about, there's a lot of people that are here and a lot of my listeners, like I have 30% of my listeners are from Jamaica. The rest are from the US.
The world.
And around the world. Tell people, who is Stoneboy?
Yeah,
when
man.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear. Really? But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
What's about Stoneboy from the beginnings, and how did you fall in love with dancehall?
I'm a male, biologically, because these days, you know. So I have to introduce myself on that world standard level so they know the vibes. I'm a hardcore, I'm a man, you know, I'm a male, literally. So that's how to start with. And my biological name is Livingston. My birth name is Livingstone. I spell it with a stone.
So that's where the stone come from?
Yeah, it's not, I don't go with a sting because it doesn't end there. You have to add the E, the stone and I deal it. At the rock.
That's right.
So the Livingstone. Right. You know what I mean? So Livingstone H.A. Satekla. H.A. is the name from my ethnicity because I'm a twin. So every twin you find in my language or my dialect or where I come from as my culture, they call them H.A. and Achu. So I'm H.A. I'm a twin, and Satekla is my birth name. My surname literally is a surname derived from all these things. You know, Volta region of Ghana is where I come from. The red, gold, green, and the black stars. When you check out the flag, yes, that's where it is. And then now I fell in love with dancehall reggae music, or music in general.
But dance specifically, because you're known as a dancehall artist. Mm-hmm. So when did you really fall in love? Like, what was the first song that just like,
literally,
boom?
I mean, I think that as time has gone on now, we have to re-describe or re-evaluate and put certain things in the right perspective. I'll give credit to music, literally, and God for the talent, you know, because that is where it starts. But I got drawn to dancehall and reggae music because the root of it is high life and Afrobeat music of today, as they term it. So all these genres have African base to them. All these genres of music, R&B, reggae, dancehall, Afrobeat. Is the basis of it, the foundation is Africa, is Afrobeat. So for me, any musical genre that has its roots into the foundation or come from, or has its roots into the foundation is what inspired me from the beginning. I'm only growing to evolve and to, you know, get the circle together properly. And this is where we are. I'll jump into making the world know that's the reason why the Afro beats of today is actually because everything is coming back into a full circle where it's us. This is our music. You know what I mean?
So what made you trigger? What was it like? You say it's music, but like, when is it? Like, was there a song or anything in particular that made you say, yo?
Or it's reggae. Like, and I'm going to add reggae and dancehall to the Afro beats that I know. That's it, right?
Any song that particularly just got you when you were like...
I may not be able to remember or recollect because that's like years ago what particular song it was. But, you know, I think reggae music and dancehall music has been around for a while now as well. And I can only attribute it to the fact that we can relate to it inside of our DNAs, you know. So that's it. And actually, it's the vibes, you see. The vibes, the message that the reggae carries most often, because when you mention reggae, you know what is termed to be like a revolutionary music, like music for everybody, music for the poor. Like reggae music can literally address everything.
Right.
Meanwhile, dancehall music sort of was built up upon the hype thing and the vibe. I don't know. That's what I believe.
That's your interpretation.
Yes.
Right.
But you can actually express yourself, you know, as how you feel. However you feel determines on what rhythm you're going to probably express yourself on, as far as I'm concerned, as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which is true. So I felt that I could express myself both ways. You know, I felt, I believed, and I mean, I knew that I couldn't stereotype or box myself, you know, because some of the feelings or some of the creative, some of the creative stuff that I have to place on, you know, as music, I have to, it's either reggae or dance or, you know, so I'm just, for me particularly as an artist, I'm just honored and glorified.
That you're so versatile.
That I'm so, yes. So it's really difficult to put me in a box. You can identify me with music, literally, and coming from Africa, yes. That's the most, that's what matters to me the most, you know. But I draw great inspiration from reggae and dancehall as well.
How, somebody that's never seen a Stoneboy show, can you describe the vibe of a Stoneboy concert?
My Stoneboy concert, you should see one of these days, is crazy. It's high energy, is high energy, and is super emotional and connected. And if I can use this word, connective and addictive, because I represent for the masses, I represent for the message, you know. At a Stoneboy concert, you're going to get like, sometimes you have to do highlight version, Afrobeat version, dancehall version, and reggae version. And every one of them cuts through the heart right there and sits down where it has to sit, you know, for what, for the kind of message that they bring. So any Stoneboy concert is one that is very, it's like, is one that you would want to attend. Like, you know, yes, you're going to get music, you're going to get vibe, you're going to get the energies right, you're going to get me to even interpret the song some more, you know, tell you how it all, you know, just narrate our story and in melodies, you know, and talk to one another, literally.
BIM.
Yeah, man.
What is BIM?
It's Bless His Imperial Majesty, you know. B-H-I-M is a sound that awakens the soul, awakens the souls, awakens your spirit. When a man comes in the spirit and say, BIM! Then we'll say, yes, there's heat, there's fire, you have to rise and move, you know, because from where I come from, the ghettos, you know, Ashaiman is the city, you have to move, you have to rise, you have to stand up. And in all these things, I give thanks to the Most High, His Imperial Majesty, His God Almighty, the overall, the one that lives in us, outside of us, within and above, beneath. So we have to give Him glory and thanks every time, because nothing depends on carnal humankind. So after I got that sound to be a signature sound, I sat and thought so deep about what this would mean, because people see me now and call me BIM. So I'm like, yeah, man, I responded to that nicely. Ever since I said that in one of my songs in 2008 years ago, or probably even 10, because in 2010, I realized that, okay, people are catching up to that slogan. I wouldn't just waste it. I need to give it a meaning, an interpretation. So I sat and I spelt it. Then I broke it down to Bless His Imperial Majesty.
I like that.
Every time. Everything. So that, you know, we don't, I believe in everything. I don't have to go wayward. Because ultimately, in the end, I'm on a mission sent by His Imperial Majesty. Same way, still, so no matter what. So. That's a code. So when you see BIM, when you see me wear anything BIM, that's the
code.
So
what happened to my BIM? Like, Justice is here, it's come back, you guys are come back. Where's my BIM t-shirt?
Yeah, we hadn't launched the shop yet. Yeah, say none. You're going to get deliveries all over by the end of the month, because we just opened up the store first ever. Yeah, I opened it right in my community, right in the hood that I grew up from. You don't
that's
know
what
that.
Your support is, really.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and you know, like, I represent for them, definitely. Like, once upon a time, I should be one of them. I don't want to go and, like, eat off the credit them, but, you know, but we know, I should be one of the artists who has taken it to the world from that community, you know. And there are a lot of other people who, my community is such that anybody rises from there, it's like, yes, Ja, you know, not that kind of vibe, so. We hold it up high and we're representing. It's the biggest city or the biggest city in the whole of Accra. You know, controls the population.
I didn't get to go this
time.
Yeah,
and anytime
I'm not coming back Christmas when I go.
Yeah. But Jano, you're either going on your own to check the vibes and know it just because, you know. Yeah, man, so you're going to get your teeth still. You're going to get your teeth.
You hear that, everybody?
Soon. It's going to be available worldwide. Yes. So you can check it out on
www.buybeam.com.
That's it. Buybeam.com, and it's ready for run.
So Stone, you're a father now.
Yeah, man.
How is my niece doing? And you're a
doing
father
good.
Now of a son.
Mm-hmm.
How has fatherhood changed you as a man?
Yeah, man. I think growing up, I have had to be a responsible person. So I fathered my kid sisters and all these ones. Mm-hmm. I had to father the home. So there was a, you know, aside being biologically called as a father, I think that I have had that fatherly vibes from long, you know. If anybody cares for their breadwinner, them there, I think they are not a father.
Your own fresh and blood.
Yes,
how, you know, when you see your daughter and you see your son, like, what, how, because a lot of people that have children, mm-hmm. they say it changes your life.
Yeah, there must be a change because it's progress. If mm-hmm. progress don't change you, it's a development. So if a development mm-hmm. don't change you, then it doesn't, it's no development, it's zero. Then it hasn't made any impact, you know, because impact is either negative or positive, mm-hmm. yes, and development is either, is a change, literally. So there must be a change. I mean, looking at my own two kids, I give thanks to God the most because this is how it is. This is how it's always going to be, even after we're dead and gone.
Mm-hmm.
This is how procreation is. And you just give thanks that through you, somebody else is. Just like through somebody else, you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. always that. That's how the world is going to run. After 100 years, we're not going to be here. Sometimes I see some edifices and I see 1545. I'm like, yo, I'm trying to be like 1545. None of that, they're not alive. You can't find one person living in these times. But you get to realize that in their time, they would have thought that, yeah, we run things.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here in 2020. And so just, I mean, not to say too far, but 2075 or what? 2090 is going to come one day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, half are we not going there? And so when them coming, they would feel like, ah, them run things. Yeah, man. Meanwhile, people have run things. So history is really important. So procreation leaves a mark of history.
It's very important.
You know what I mean? So you know, say, yeah, that's your grandfather, that's your great-grand. So mm-hmm. it's just that's the ultimate change that I can ever feel as a father. So it's just going to continue like that.
You so know? You have a next project coming out. You have a next album coming out.
Yeah, man.
Tell me about that.
This album is actually a point in time where I have been one of the young pioneers of that sound that I've always believed in to get global, you know, in my time, because there have been times before. So in my time now, I'm only privileged to be alive, to be one of the names that will come up when it comes to the measure of Afrobeat and dancehall and reggae music together. Mm-hmm. Yes, so at this point in time, at this junction, the album is called Angloga. So at this junction is a combination of all these things put together.
Mm-hmm.
The influences that have run through me and the influences that I have run through, you know, to put this album together. So one track each of all that influence. You know what I mean? So that's how we got the whole package, the Angloga junction. Mind you, Angloga is an African word, precisely a Ghanaian word, much more precisely an Ewe word.
Ewe, that's what I was going to say.
Much more precisely from the Anglo people. You see? So that's where I want to start it from. You see, an uh-huh. African word, Ghanaian word, uh-huh. Ewe word. So that's just the Anglo is just a representation of African, the African style and influence uh-huh. on the album. Ultimately, and then the junction now is our English word. So the junction now represents all the other Western or foreign influence.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, the Angloga junction is where I'm at now. I'm at that junction right now, creative wise. That's the junction that I'm at.
So who's
an Angloga junction? Literally, is a junction.
After that junction,
yes, please. There is a junction called there's always Angloga junction, and that is one of the junctions that run through the whole of Ghana still. There's always a junction somewhere called
Junction.
Yes, there's always a junction somewhere called Angloga.
Right.
Because you find out that people from my ethnicity have always lived in different other ethnic, you know, because Ghana is a whole, but we have the north, east, south, mm-hmm. west, central, and all that. You definitely find Anglo people who reside, who move from the Volta region where they supposedly belong as a as a geographical area mm-hmm. to move into the east, south, south, south. So everywhere they go, they have like, there must be an Angloga junction right there.
Ah, I see.
So that's literal meaning, but the deeper meaning is a representation of my route experiences and the influences from the African perspective represented by the name of my route and the junction as an English word representing the other Western and the foreign influence. So mm-hmm. I'm at the Angloga junction right now.
Nice.
On
like
my
that.
Album. Yeah, that's the creative
so,
process.
So who's producing on this album? Tell us about the production. Is
yeah,
it
the
all
producers
you?
Have a lot of, there are a lot of producers, as in literal production.
Yeah.
Music, instrumental production. You have Gazi, you have Mandem from Ghana, Street Beat, you have iPappy, people whoever is working with me from, and then you have Dre, who's produced me, and Kerry Hilsing, who's a lot of producers as well, trust me, from Nigeria and across Jamaica as well. I recorded some of the one song here with Jamil inside a big...
With Jamil, you shot the video, that's why
I just
you're here.
Shot the, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm on tour, so literally it was part of the plan to jump from one spot
right.
to the other, so yeah, man.
Nice. Where did you shoot the video?
We shot it at Port Royal, and then our one other part, you know.
Downtown somewhere?
Yeah, downtown somewhere in our way around.
Didn't that remind you, doesn't downtown kind of remind you of Jamestown?
You tell him. You tell them.
Jamestown is the
yeah,
vibe.
Man.
When I was driving through Jamestown, everybody was like, I'm like, oh my God, this is just like downtown Kingston.
Yeah,
it just
man.
Reminds me of downtown Kingston.
Yeah,
it's
man.
The same vibe.
Because to me, it's your first time you visited, so I think your experience as a first timer is really important, how we can compare certain things to find
mm-hmm.
the similarities. Second and third time is different vibe.
Yeah,
because
I want to go more
time,
into the country,
yeah,
in the central.
Yeah, man, you're going to go through, and when you go through, you'll find out it's the same thing, it's the same kind of liberty, you know, because it's us
yeah, I just felt
that
at
have
home.
Spread across over the years.
But let me tell you something, though. Ghanaians, everybody, they love Jamaica and Jamaican culture. They have so much respect. I've never seen so much Jamaican flags up everywhere I go. When I take a Uber, I'm tell Uber man, say, yo, away I do bomba clap. Jamaican, you're my first Jamaican I've ever taken. The respect and the love being Jamaican coming to Ghana is just undeniable.
Yeah, man. So it's just like the love of a mother, you know?
Yeah.
That's it. Once you come home, you have to feel at home.
Buffet.
Come on. And it's real like
yeah.
that. It's just a simple, that's the most simplest way I can describe it. So, you know, it's just home. So once you come home, then you must feel at home. It doesn't matter if there's food at home or there's no food at home. You see that feeling when you go back home. So
right.
it's only right that Jamaicans get that amount of respect.
Oh, my God.
I feel like when people find me as a... Anytime I come to Jamaica and I go into spaces as an African... I see that glitter. I see that interest in wanting to stay and vibe also. It's just, I feel like up to this point, that natural, you see, the inside of us, you know, is super. Sometimes I describe it like that. That's why it's supernatural.
Mm.
The inside of
magical.
Us is really super. That's just magical. It sees something else we can't even describe as people.
Jamaicans
don't
even realize how connected they are spiritually to home. In the way they talk, in the way their movement is, in the way their attitude
is. Can I broaden it up to black people?
Black
don't
people
realize,
don't know,
you know
but
what
I
mean?
Find
yes.
that even when you go to America and there's black Americans, because while I was there, I noticed the difference going to the slave dungeon. And I'm emotional, and the black Americans are there, not all, but there's a few, majority, doing full-on Instagram shoots and are not really connecting. And something was said to me like 5 years ago by Minister Farrakhan while having dinner. He says, while it will take a West Indian or a person of the Caribbean 6 months to deprogram them to get them back to where they are as black people, it would take a black American 6 years.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So that's why I was saying,
yeah, man.
You know,
so
like,
you're super
we
right.
Kiss
you're
our
right
teeth,
about that. You're right about that. You're right. Same
things.
Thing. Same thing. Because I think that it never really, you see, the dilution is not as deep as that of the black American in America, you see. But in the Caribbean, you find out that is very close. If we had a straight flight, it would be five or 6 hours.
There.
you know. Yeah, it would be 5 or 6 hours straight flight, and only God knows how fluent or how often we're all going to be communicating. But it's coming together in the end. I believe that our music is going to, we're all going to sing the same music, like Bob Marley said. In the end, we're going to sing the same music. It will go to a point where Ice Stone Boy will be big in Ghana and big in Jamaica simultaneously, because we enjoy each other's music. We do that already anyway, but in a manner that the world is going to see us and honor us and respect us, and we might not even feel a way, because we are, once we found each other, we're good. It doesn't matter who's looking at us or who's not.
Music will not only be the only trade, it will be everything.
Absolutely.
All of our trade.
Yes.
From the region to Africa.
Yes.
Without being stopped to go to the United States or to the UK.
There must be a plan to that. So now I think the powers that be are realizing that the other power is rising and it can't get suppressed anymore. But, you know, we need to do more than talking and more than wishing
going to Ghana.
Hey, y'all, what's up? It's Devin here from Money Honeys. If you're a fan of learning about your business and finances through storytelling and pop culture, then you got to be sure to check out and subscribe to Money Honeys, a show that covers the nitty-gritty of maintaining your personal wealth through fun conversation. And you know what? It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
We have to make
take steps.
Yeah, man, take steps and make moves. I'm a president, come to Jamaica a number of times. We come talk to Allness and all them there, because me and the president, you go to, you know. Yeah, man, and for artists like myself, I make sure that when I'm in America, whatever, I push through. Because I see it beyond only trying to feel too big as an artist. I see it as a mission. I see it as a connect. There's something must be done. You know, if I don't, I don't impact people, or if I don't benefit from it directly, some other people will benefit from the fact that we pushed the levels to an area where we made an effort to communicate and put this music and the sound together, you know. And I think that's why I'm one of the most featured African artists to Jamaicans, the tallest, you know what I mean? Yeah, because I'm mission minded on that level. Absolutely. Let nobody feel that I want to ride on them to boss a yard. No, I'm a good at home.
Yeah, of course.
I have to be honest about
African artists don't even need to tour anywhere else but home.
I have to be real, you know. So, but there's a bigger picture. Yeah, man. So the more we see that, the better. And even that's going to improve and still increase the business sector anyways. So yeah, don't know, you know.
Tell me about Boss Energy. Everywhere I was driving in Ghana, I see Boss Energy, and then I also heard that part proceeds of Boss Energy goes to charity as well. Tell me about that.
Yeah, man. The truth is, I was contacted. We've been in meetings and talks with one of the biggest producers of beverages in Ghana. You know, they do everything beverage recycling, bottling, and everything. And they contacted me, my two management, however. And then we had conversations. I was made a brand ambassador to the Vibe for a few months. And then now I took the discussion further on, you know, to see how we can change the dynamics as artists who definitely are thoughtful about the impact and stuff. So I decided to be like, all right, let's cut the deal so I can own the franchise for a few and run it. And then now that part of the business will vibe it later, but I need the strength to be able to move to the next level where I want to go to. So certain proceeds of that will go to my foundation for me to be continuing the works that I do, because almost every year we put together a show, an event, a Shine Man to the World, a homecoming, where we spend loads because it's a free event, but we give them the best, the biggest production.
So big.
Super big. May I tell you, about 60,000-70,000
people.
You know?
It's crazy.
And it's a Shine Man to the World. And me, Ronda, I've been running it for 7 years now. This year is going to be the 8th year. Been running the BIM concert for 4 years now. This year is going to be the 5th year. So I have like 2 signature shows, hands down, every year in Ghana. So you know the thing going. We're just trying to leave up, trying to push to the next level. Because whoever is going to come behind us, or the people who are coming behind us, have to have a lot to do. Because wherever we stop, God willing, is where they have to take it on from. Come on, so we have to push. Yeah.
All right. I think that was great.
Thank you so very much. Without the alcohol still, right?
I still got it. You want a little drinky piece? Because I bought proper celebration drinks, you know.
It's a weed, man.
We've got
proper celebration drinks here, mate. It's a weed we wanna...
So we're going to open that up and we're going to have a little drink right now.
Yeah, man, for real.
This was Reasonings with Stone Boy.
It was Reasonings with Odessa. This is Reasonings with Odessa. She's a super... How do I even term it? She's a superwoman, that's it.
Yes, bless up. Yeah, man, Next time, I'm looking forward to coming back home and not at Christmas because it's party after party. Yeah. I want to just chill.
Yeah, man. You know, the best
moment. I was so exhausted.
The best moments are in December. When you come again,
after party, sometime in Ghana,
I do 4 to 5 shows a night.
It's crazy.
I'm like, yo, you're mean, man. Why? Kill me.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was literally like that. I'm like, you guys are going to freaking kill me. I need to leave.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I couldn't even meet you. So, I mean, I need to use the opportunity to say big ups to everybody who's been around working so effortlessly around the team, you know. You know, DJ Justice, you know.
That's right.
And everybody else, Bernita Music Group, you don't know, TJ, and all these things, you know.
All right, and I can at least come and spend some time. I want to see my niece next time. I'm very serious.
Yeah, man. So, yo, everybody go check out the album.
Please.
5th March is my birthday, and I'm first time my birthday in Jamaica, man.
Well, so what are we going to do? We're going to have to get some more of this.
But that's the day I'm traveling out still.
Oh.
So I have
so we're going to make the toast now. We're going to drink some of this amazing Prosecco. Big up. I can't even pronounce the name. Bottega. Big up Bottega, Rose Gold. Thank you guys for sponsoring this, for this podcast. Reasons with Odessa, we out.
Angloga Junction, we're in.
Yes, thank you, Stoneboy, for passing through for Reasonings. It was really, it was really cool. I really love this, brother. And what more I really love is that we have a new Drinky Poo sponsor, and that is Bottega Prosecco. If you see those sexy bottles, guys, it's like the bottles are sexy, but so is the actual Prosecco. So go out and purchase that. Don't forget, guys, to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on any podcast platform that you listen to it on. That's it for this episode of Reasonings with Odessa. Linkage laters. Peace. This podcast was also brought to you by Ideas Evolution Jamaica.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.